In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Merry Christmas. It is the fourth day of Christmas, which is my way of telling you that Christmas is not over. Even though we overeat and overspend and overindulge and overwork and we get ourselves finally to Christmas Day and we're all worn out and we just feel like we want it to be over, there are 12 days of Christmas. We end the Christmas season on Epiphany, which we'll be doing here with a special service. So let us celebrate Christmas and do that with the symbols and the stories that we have. Today is all about stories. We've had seven stories and song with 50 verses, and we tell our Christmas story in varieties of ways, but it's all one story, is it not? I mean, sometimes it's a story of Christmas when Uncle Rich didn't make it and Aunt Rose overdid the turkey, and you know, sometimes it's the story of the Christmas when I got my bicycle, but there is one Christmas in all these different stories and symbols. But let's not be too rushed or hurried to end up Christmas and pack up those wonderful symbols that we have and pack them away so we can get back to normal, which is that part of the year that doesn't include baby Jesus. And there are many stories. Our gospelers tell the story in a variety of ways. If you look at the first gospel writer, Mark, who wrote his story, the first gospel story in the Bible, he doesn't mention the birth of Jesus at all. That wasn't his way of telling the story. But now Matthew, who wrote next, certainly had his way of telling the story. It was Matthew who tells us a story with the wise men who had seen the star. And it was in Matthew, when the word comes to Mary and Joseph about this wonderful thing happening into their life, the voice comes to them in a dream. And it is in Matthew that King Herod hears that there is a new king born to the Jews. And he says to the wise men, please let me know when you find this king because I want to worship him too. Wink, wink. The wise men, the Magi, figured out what he was up to. They left town and took a different way out of here. And Herod had all the boys under the age of 2 massacred. And that was Matthew's way of telling us the story that Joseph and Mary took Jesus and took off to Egypt. And that's Matthew's Christmas story. And Luke tells the story in a completely different way, but it's still the same story. When the voice comes from heaven, when Luke tells us, we're reminded it's been 400 years since we had heard God's voice speaking through angels and prophets, and that's what Luke has. The angels come and talk to us, and what do they say first? Don't be afraid. Which you'd always be afraid if an angel came to talk to you, right? Don't be afraid. Luke's message is wonderful things are coming into the world, coming for all of us. But for Luke, there's no wise men. Luke tells a story with shepherds. Same story. We tell it in different ways. We all need to find our own way to tell it. There's a story I recall from Christmas some years ago, about 1985, and it happened here downstairs in what we then called the Undercroft, what we now call the kitchen. And it was Christmas Eve service, and there was a tree down there, and all the little kids were sitting around the tree, and Father Evans was telling them the Christmas story. And my daughter, who was about 5 years old at the time, was sitting there, look as beautiful as can be, and Father Evans said, "Now Christmas time, kids, God sent the most wonderful gift of all into the world. Do you know what that is?" And she raised her hand up right away. And I was prepared to be very proud of my theological education of my daughter. And she was called on, and father him and says, "And what was that wonderful gift, Lauren, that God sent into the world at Christmas?" And she said, "Is it candy?" And that's a Christmas story, is it not? But it worried me. What kind of jumbled up mess are we teaching our kids about this Christmas story? Are they getting it? And so I wrote, and what was published shortly after that, a story which I'm going to read to you now, which I wrote way back then, called "The Christmas Story That I Fear That the Children Know," which means the one that we've taught them, like this. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register. Those are the words from Luke. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the babe to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And then suddenly, out on the lawn, there arose such a clatter that they sprang from their beds to see what was the matter. And then with a click, 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 down through the chimney came good Saint Nick. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." And then laying a finger aside of his nose, up the chimney he rose. But we heard him exclaim as he rose out of sight, "Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. And there are gifts from three wise men, but no Daisy air rifle, because someone could shoot their eye out. Merry Christmas to all, and remember, all returns must be accompanied by a receipt, and to all, a good night." And that's the jumbled up mess that I fear that we teach our children as the Christmas story, and I hope we can do better. But maybe it is just candy. Now, there are these two stories that Matthew and Mark tell us about God, Jesus, this baby coming into the world, which is hard for us to believe. And St. John, in what we call the last gospel, tells the same story in an entirely different way. He tells this story from heaven. And he starts with, "In the beginning." And anybody who's ever read the Hebrew Bible knows that "in the beginning" are the first words of the Bible, and we've been reading them for 4,000 years, and that's the way John starts the Christmas story. "In the beginning," he says, "in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." This is John's Christmas story. "He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made." Now this Word takes on human characteristics. "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." In the beginning was the Word, was the Logos. In the beginning was our Jesus. Jesus has been with us since the beginning of all creation. And if we can accept that as the way John tells us, that means therefore our Jesus, our Savior, has been with us every moment of our own life, every second of our existence. And within that, John promises he's always been in the world, and he's always been the light, and the darkness has never been able to overcome the light. Not ever, no matter how hard the world has tried. And perhaps John, understanding that it's difficult for us to see our Savior as a little baby in a manger. Could that possibly be the King of all creation? Can we believe that? And if that's hard for us to believe, it's going to be a lot harder in 30 years when his twisted and bloody body's on a cross for us. John lifts us up to heaven with his Christmas story when he says, this Jesus, this Word has been with us always. And here it comes, here's his Christmas story. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's the gift for me, that our Lord, our Jesus, would come into the world like us to show us the way. Merry Christmas.